You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the same old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Woo, baby. This is what it is all about, baby. Big game feel this Sunday. It's happening. Miami Dolphins, Kansas City Chiefs for first place in the AFC. My goodness. This is a wild time, Brain. Are you pumped or are you pumped?
I am so pumped. We've all had this date circled. We've been pumped. Looking forward to it for weeks, and now it's finally here this Sunday. Real Housewives of Potomac season premiere, baby. So ready.
Thank you for listening to the same old Dolphin Show. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram. Brain, come on. Are you really going Real Housewives?
Oh, I'm so pumped for this game. Hopefully.
This is it.
This is what it's all about, baby. We're getting it started early. We're playing in Germany, so it's a 9:30 game. So I'm going to have the coffee. We're going to be, you know, starting the day, setting the tone for the Sunday, you know, getting it started with the Dolphins. And then, you know, I'll enjoy my dessert with the Housewives, you know, later on in the evening. But I am very much looking forward to this game. You're absolutely right. It's a big game feel. And it's not just a big game feel. It's a big game. This is a huge game, not just, you know, for right now in the standings, but this game has huge long-term implications for when you get down into the playoffs later on this season. So there's a very good chance that this game could decide who has the bye in the first round, who has home field advantage. I'm ready.
Yes, it's a big one. And it very well may be that it does decide who the team that is hosting the AFC championship game is. You know, there are that kind of stakes. It is easily the most consequential game that the Dolphins will have played to this point this season. I mean, in a lot of ways, I don't want to say it's the most consequential game that they've played in a long time, because obviously they played games last year that had to do with whether or not they were making the playoffs. But I mean, in this season, this is the biggest game that this team will have played so far, and it is absolutely massive. Brain, we're going to talk about the game this today. We're going to talk about the Dolphins and the Chiefs and what they've got to do to win this game. But before we get into any of that, a reminder to make sure that you're following us on Twitter. I'm at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We invite you to download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcast. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Shout out to everybody who is watching us live right now on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Thank you. Go ahead and smash that thumbs up button. We appreciate that very much. Shout out to everybody who is watching live on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. If you're watching live right now, throw us a note in the comments. Let us know where you're watching from, because this is an international week. It's an international game this Sunday. So we want to know, where is everybody watching from? Do we have the international audience with us tonight? Let us know where you're at, where you're watching from. And we look forward to hearing from you. And then, of course, you know, make sure you're, follow us, do all of the things, right? We'll go get the plugs in out of the way, out of the right at the beginning here. Make sure you are going to Caldera Labs using the promo code Dolphins Talk to save 20% off of your order for the cream. It's going to make your face look nice. You're going to look younger. You're going to look rejuvenated. So make sure that you do that. It's really important. CalderaLab.com, promo code Dolphins Talk, save 20% off of your order. And here we go. Here we got everybody checking in from all over the place. We've got John from Miami, Florida. We got George from Philadelphia. We've got Jordan in Temple, Texas. Maddie is in Miami. How about Lee in Okeechobee? Okeechobee, baby. We got Tervalis. Yes, Tervalis Tinker come from the Bahamas. J.M. Santos is in Vegas. We got Caruthersville, Missouri in the house. Orlando, Florida. Got a couple people from Orlando, Florida. And let's see, what else we got here? We got, Nathan from the home of the NFL Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio. We love it. And then we got Joanna's from New York. Joanna, you got to let us know where in New York, because I'm in New York, but probably not the same area in New York as you are. We got some more Texas. We got some New Jersey, Jim from New Jersey. We got Douglas from Texas. And you know what else we've got? We've got somebody joining us on the show today who is joining us from the great state of Connecticut. Oh, Clifton Springs is where Joanna is from. Clifton Springs, not too terribly far away. Not too far away. We got 305 in the house. Broome County, New York. Oh, that's down Binghamton Way is in the house. A lot of folks. But as I said, joining us from the great state of Connecticut today, we got a special guest on the show to preview this game. That's how big this game is. So we are bringing onto the show from the great state of Connecticut, the chief content officer of ProFootballNetwork.com. He is our longtime friend, longtime neighbor. He is David Behrman. David, how are you?
That might be the greatest introduction I've ever had, and that includes my own wedding. Like, no one has ever introduced me with that much excitement.
Well,
now introducing for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. David Behrman. And by the way, that was Carl Ravitch from Baseball Tonight who introduced me at my wedding. No one can top the excitement that the Katzker brothers have for me. Good to see you, even though I just saw you in person, in the flesh.
I know. Last week, David and I got together. I was down in Connecticut for a work trip. So when I was missing the last week's show on Thursday, when I was missing that show, I was down in Connecticut for work and got together and had bagels with David Behrman.
Did he took a bagel place right down the street from the house, got me out of the house for a little bit. I was on my way to Philadelphia.
You went to the game. We don't need to talk about the game, but we can talk about
the game. But I'm still at the stadium waiting for the first Eagles flag. I said I was not leaving until they threw a flag on the Eagles. So my cousin still thinks there. I'm sitting in the stadium.
Yikes. Well, what are you going to do? You win some and you lose some, I guess. But thanks for being here on the show with us.
Absolutely.
It's great to have you. It's been a while since you've been on the show, so it's good to have you back. I guess before we go any further, why don't you tell the people where they can find you now and what you're up to? Because last time you were on the show, you worked for the other company, but now you're somewhere else.
Well, you can name the company. It is ESPN. That's why I live in Connecticut. I don't choose the 37 degree freezing rain weather that I just had tonight at my son's tackle football practice. I was at ESPN for 18 and a half years. And then left when I was offered the chief content officer job at Pro Football Network. So go to profootballnetwork.com. I'll plug it a couple of times. PFN365 on Twitter, PFN.365 on Instagram. We cover all things pro football. So the site was originally founded by a bunch of Dolphin fans, Matt Cannata, Aaron Sutton. So you probably have seen them and talked to them in the past. Big time Dolphin fans. They were in charge of a couple of different websites. They did Dolphins or SB Nation and a couple other sites, and got together 4 years ago and decided, you know what, their misery in talking Dolphins. Let's share that misery with the other 31 teams. So they started ProFootballNetwork.com and grew it over time, and then eventually got purchased, and the new owners, Absolute Sports out of Bangalore, India, wanted to scale it up. So chief content officer opening, and here I am. I didn't have to move. In fact, this is my new office. I know I used to have a little podcast background because I didn't work from home, so I would just make something up just real quick to be on the air. I have a desk, monitors, wall, and this is what gets me through every day is my Kickstart tower, as you see.
There you go. That's fantastic. You're very well caffeinated.
Yeah, very well caffeinated. Not right now. I only have one in the morning. I don't have any at night. I got a couple of TVs right there in the man cave. You want to see the man cave? You know,
look at this. Let's get a tour of the man cave. Look at this.
So we got
this.
Yeah, we got the Gator stuff over there.
This is going to translate really well to everybody who's listening on the podcast after the fact.
Couple of TVs, some Marlin stuff. The lights are off, so it's you can't see it all. But there's some flags, some golf stuff.
I think it looks nice.
Thank you.
Quality man cave. There we go. It's a beautiful man cave.
Profootballnetwork.com. We're on the website, Twitter, Instagram. We have podcasts 5 days a week with fantasy. We have, in part of our coverage, we cover all the NFL teams, but we have beat writers in Miami. So I'm sure plenty of people listening have read Adam Beasley. Adam Beasley is our main writer and NFL director at Pro Football Network. We have Jay Morrison covers the Bengals for us. And Jess Navarez, who covers the Cowboys for us. So those are the three teams where we have people live in those cities. Jess reported live from Jerry World last week. Adam will be at all the home games and a couple of the road games. And thank you, George, for the nice cave. You've only seen half of it. I can't get the camera to spin over there. But if I can, you'll see a chair from Joe Robbie Stadium over there as well. Have planted over there. I want to see if I can show you my dolphin wall by the end of the show because I'd have to get around the corner.
we'll let that be a work in progress, Dave, but either way, we're glad that you're here with us today to help us preview this game against the Chiefs, because as we were just talking about, this is a big one. This is a big, big game that we are fired up about. I mean, it's the kind of game that all of us, you know, we're sort of hoping that we'd one day get back to the Dolphins being involved in, where it's a matchup of premier teams in the NFL, and the Dolphins are one of them. How long have we sat on the sidelines and watched as here's a matchup between two of the great teams? As you watch the Bills and the Chiefs, you watch the Bengals and the Chiefs, you watch those games, and we're always sitting on the sidelines. And now we're involved. Now, granted, it's the regular season, so that
it is. And I don't know that we're necessarily there yet. There's a lot of people that would disagree with you as far as the Dolphins being one of the premier teams. Now, record wise, they are certainly in the conversation. But look, we're going to keep hearing the same narrative until the Dolphins actually beat a good team.
You want my thoughts on that narrative?
Yes, go ahead.
I'll let you finish first, and I'll give you my thoughts on that crappy narrative. Yeah.
Well, I think that there's something to the narrative. I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter until you get to the playoffs. I mean, the Dolphins could lose this game and then they could, you know, lose like the two other games that they have on the season or three other games that they have on the season to good teams. And they'll still be in a really strong position, you know, going into the playoffs to prove themselves. And that's ultimately what's going to matter. But until they do, you know, like it or not, the narrative is what it is. And, you know, for the Dolphins to really be contenders and for us to say, hey, this is the game between two preeminent teams, absolutely top tier teams in the league. Well, the Dolphins need to prove that they belong there because they've had two such opportunities to do that this season. And they've lost by a combined 42 points.
So facts are facts. Deal in facts. I worked in statistics my entire life. Not wrong. They've lost the only two games that they've played of marquee teams. They lost to the Bills. Wasn't a good one. The Eagles game, I would say, was obviously a lot closer. It was tied in the fourth quarter. They had the ball. They had a chance to tie it numerous times. No flags were called. Didn't play their best game ever. We're missing a couple of linemen. You want to rehash the Eagles. I am never going to apologize for beating the teams on the schedule that you beat. People say, oh, the Dolphins only beat the crappy teams. Okay, they have beaten the crappy teams, but they've also beat the crap out of the crappy teams. They've left no doubt. They have dominated the crappy teams. And you can't apologize for that. San Francisco has lost three in a row. including games versus the Browns, who aren't great. Who they lose to this past week?
They just lost to
mental Cincinnati. Whatever. Cincinnati, yeah. who obviously going to be good, but they weren't for a while. So they've lost three in a row. The Bills have lost to the Patriots and the Jets. The Chiefs have lost to the Jets. Up in Dallas lost to Arizona. So teams will lose games. And the Dolphins are making sure that they don't lose the games that you should win. And absolutely. Yes, in order to win the Super Bowl, you're going to have to beat some good teams. You have to prove you belong. The Dolphins are not going to win the Super Bowl if they can't beat the Kansas Cities and Buffaloes of the world. No doubt. They won't win the division if they don't beat Buffalo the next time around.
Right.
But
well,
you can't, perhaps. Well, perhaps, but you can't measure a team just because of who's on their schedule. Now, right. The Buffalo game is the Buffalo game. They got their butts kicked. They never have done well against Buffalo, this current team. I would argue that the Philadelphia game could have gone either way. You know, there was a lot of things going on. And I firmly believe they can go in. And by the way, they were both on the road. I think those games are drastically different at home, which is why this game is so important, because you want to get that home field. But at the end of the day, you are who you are because of your record. And yes, there are some fraudulent records. A couple of weeks ago, the Raiders were 3-2 and hadn't scored more than 20 points in any game this season. Fraudulent. But they scored 70 points on a Denver team that just beat Kansas City. So, you know, teams get better and teams get worse as the season goes on. And this Denver team is not the same Denver team you saw a couple of weeks ago. But if you're going to blame the Dolphins for beating up on the bad teams, some of those bad teams have beaten the good teams. By the way, the Dolphins have beaten New England twice now.
Yep.
And New England has beaten Buffalo. So, yeah, the transitive property isn't going to win you a Super Bowl. No. We've all known that. But, yes, Aaron, I completely agree. They have to beat some good teams. But I wouldn't say the Dolphins are not a marquee team because they haven't beaten a good team. If you look at the statistics and the numbers, not only are they tied for first in record, they're first in every offensive category in the league. And the defensive stats aren't nearly as bad as people make them out to be. They're fourth in sacks, first in quarterback hits, like sixth in pressure. The secondary has been weak, but now when you show up in Germany, you're going to see Xavier Howard, Jalen Ramsey, and Javon Holland. I'll take those three over any secondary.
Totally different team.
So I think they are an elite team. Yes, to maintain that status, you're going to have to win, and this game is just as big as any. But we'll get to the rest of the schedule in a minute. It is a measuring stick, and all these games are measuring sticks. And I'm not going to apologize for beating the bad teams. And yes, it's crappy that they've lost to the good teams. They battled Philadelphia against everything going against them, on the road at night in Philly. And I think if you play that game 10 times, you might get 5-5.
And that's the key. It's like, as I said on our last episode, is fact is the Dolphins have gone and beaten every team that's been an inferior team that they've been up against. And that's the key. That's the key. As long as you keep doing that, you're in business. And yes, as you said, eventually you're going to have to beat somebody that is, a tough team, a winning team, an elite team. At some point, you're going to have to beat some of those teams along the way. But, you know, if you're beating the teams that you're clearly better than, you're still going to be there and you're going to be in position when it gets down to the end of the year. You're going to keep giving yourself chances to go up against those better teams and get those big wins. And so let's dive right into that, because that is exactly what sits ahead in front of the Dolphins this week. Massive game, Kansas City Chiefs. Immediately, the first thing that jumps to mind is that the Dolphins get a huge advantage because they're not going to Kansas City to play this game. They're playing this game in Germany. Now, it is a Chiefs home game. Germany is one of the countries where the Chiefs have their marketing rights agreement through the NFL. So, like, I believe the Dolphins have Brazil, Spain, and I think the UK is the other country where the Dolphins have the marketing rights, and one of those countries for the Chiefs is Germany. And so there will be a Chiefs home game, but I expect the crowd to be mixed. You're going to have a lot of neutral NFL fans, and you're going to have a whole heck of a lot of Dolphin fans in the building as well. So that's advantage number one. It's only a 40-something thousand seat stadium, so it would easily be the smallest stadium in the NFL. So it's another advantage for the Dolphins in that respect. But when you take a look at the matchup, I think we've got to start on the defensive side of the ball yet again, because this is where the Dolphins are creeping towards, dare I say, full strength. It's not going to be totally, purely full strength, because it sounds like Brandon Jones is who's in the concussion protocol, and it doesn't sound like he's going to make the trip, but it really does look like this is going to be the first time this season that we've got Xavier Howard on one side of the field, Jalen Ramsey on the other, and Javon Holland patrolling at safety. And we're going to see those three guys on the field together. That's part one. The second part is we are finally starting to see this Dolphins defensive front really start to put it together. Bradley Chubb has really come on over the last several games. Jalen Phillips is finally looking healthy and getting into it. Christian Wilkins is even, you know, from that defensive tackle position is really starting to make his presence felt even in the passing game as well. So you're really starting to see things come together. This Dolphins defense really seems to be on the verge of figuring it out. And now they have what is going to be one of their toughest tests of the season, because they're taking on this Kansas City Chiefs team. And the guy who has been basically the consensus best quarterback in the NFL in Patrick Mahomes, and one of the greatest tight ends that's ever played the game in Travis Kelce. Brain, I'll start with you here, because one of the things that we have talked about, that we have harped on with this defense over the course of this season, has been their inability to finish that sack. When they've come in, when they've gotten pressure on quarterbacks, so many times these quarterbacks have slipped away. Patrick Mahomes is a guy where if you let him slip away, he's going to make another play happen. As Vic Fangio said in his press conference, he said, the thing that's so tough about this team is not only do you have to defend the play that they call coming out of the huddle, you also have to defend the play that Patrick Mahomes makes happen after he starts spinning around and running around like a madman. That's paraphrasing. But ultimately, it's going to come down to, I mean, one of the keys, I think there's a number of keys defensively, but one of the big ones in terms of limiting Patrick Mahomes is those defensive ends getting in and taking care of, trying their best to contain Patrick Mahomes in this one.
Yeah, well, and it's not just getting pressure from the outside, but it's also and finishing the sack, but it's also containing. Like, it's not over pursuing and giving him lanes to run. And that's where I think it's actually more important to get the pressure coming from the inside, particularly from Christian Wilkins. If he can come up with some pressures on the inside to really keep Mahomes from stepping out of it, well, then that's going to make the guys on the outside their job a lot easier. It's going to make it easier for Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips and Andrew Van Ginkle to finish those plays if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a clean pocket to step up into. And you're right. The defensive line has absolutely been making strides and coming together the last couple of weeks. And this is a big one. They're going to absolutely have to. And the other piece of the puzzle is, as the secondary gets healthier, if you can make him hold on to the ball for an extra second, that's the difference between not finishing a sack and finishing a sack. So all of the signs are there for this Dolphins defense. There were so many close calls in that Philadelphia game where they easily could have kept Philly to about 20, 24 points, which, you know, we'd be talking about a completely different ball game if that would have happened. And then they go out and they play the way that they did last week. But the thing is, as much as I'm excited about how they looked last week, it's hard for me to get too excited about how the defense looks against New England. Like, let's be real. The same way you saw signs that the defense was getting better against Carolina and against the Giants. Yes. But then what happens when you play a real offense? Now, the truth of the matter is, though, this Kansas City offense this season is not the Kansas City offense of the last few seasons. They are bereft of weapons on the outside. Right now, they are literally Travis Kelce. They're Patrick Mahomes, you know, finding a guy that's open here and there, making plays, spreading the ball around. But there's really only one go-to guy in this offense, and it's Travis Kelce. So to me, what this defense does going into this game, to me, it starts and ends with how do you contain Travis Kelce? How do you not let Travis Kelce beat you? Because if you can keep Travis Kelce to, like, I don't know, 8 to 10 receptions, 80 yards, even 100 yards, but not killing you, not having a monster game, then I think you put yourself in a great position to hold the Chiefs to, you know, somewhere around 20 points. And if you can hold them to somewhere around 20 points, I think you've got a great chance to win this football game.
Dave, do you think that that is something that the Dolphins defensively should think about strategizing? In other words, you decide you're going to do everything in your power to minimize the effects of Travis Kelce and force Patrick Mahomes to beat you with Valdes-Scantling and Rashee Rice and Sky Moore and say, you don't really have the receivers, so beat us that way because we're going to lock down, do everything in our power to lock down Travis Kelce and force you to find other ways to win.
I think that's what Denver did last week. And actually, if you go back to the Jets game, which is really the game that this offense struggled against a really good Jets defense with a really good secondary, the Jets defense put the pressure on Mahomes to say, all right, you're going to beat me outside of Kelce. Now, Kelsey's going to get his thing. That's what Aaron just said. He's going to get his stuff. But I think the difference that you're seeing right now with this Chiefs offense, like last year, people thought it would take a step back because they lost Tyreek Hill. And they still did okay. You still had Juju. You had other receivers. I don't think teams really adjusted much and kind of took it for granted that Hill was gone and Mahomes was able to beat them. This year, teams are literally focusing on Kelce and not allowing them to get beat anywhere else. I don't know if you heard what the Cheetahs said today when they said, what do you do when Patrick Mahomes gets loose and runs around? You know, you've been there. And he said that they actually had sessions and training sessions about where the receivers go when Patrick Mahomes starts running around, like what you do. They actually had film sessions on that. And his advice is find Travis Kelce. Just find Travis Kelce, because when Mahomes is on the run, that's what he's doing. And Kelce, like, someone like Tyreek Hill is a great route runner. Someone like A.J. Brown was a great route runner. Travis Kelce just gets open. And he knows where to get open, and Kelce knows, and Mahomes knows where to find him. So I think the Dolphin defense has gotten better, and just one slight pushback to Aaron. They actually were pretty damn good against the Eagles. That's not what lost them the game. Like, yeah, they couldn't stop the tush push. No one can stop the damn tush push. Without the tush push, I'm not sure the Eagles get that go-ahead touchdown. They had two of them on one drive and then threw it deep to A.J. Brown. Like, that's what they did. The rest of the game, the Eagles' other touchdown was off of the Phantom roughing the passer. And they had one really good drive. Now, it wasn't the best game the Dolphin defense has played, but that game they lost because the offense didn't show up. The offensive line didn't protect. They ran for negative yards in the first half. Tua made a bad pass, and they couldn't get it going when they needed to get it going. I think if the Dolphin defense plays solid, I think the Dolphins can score on Kansas City, and they can, you know, teams don't want to get a shootout with Miami. You never would say that before. Like, you don't want to get in a shootout. Now, if you're a Dolphin fan, you want to get into a shootout. The only one they've lost is Buffalo. It's the only shootout they've lost. Every other one, the Dolphins just keep scoring. And I think they would have had they gotten the ball back against Philadelphia, but Philadelphia kept getting, you know, we're going to play 1st and 9 and win the game that way.
Right.
I think it is going to come down to whether the Dolphins can contain Mahomes. They have struggled when quarterbacks have gotten out of the pocket before. You saw it with Jalen Hurts. You've seen it with Josh Allen. If you can contain Mahomes, they're not going to beat you on the ground. They're not going to beat you with running the ball. But what the Dolphins need to do is they need to get off the field on 3rd down. Kansas City's had one of the best teams in football over the last half a decade with converting 3rd downs because they got the top quarterback, the top tight end, and they used to have the top wide receiver. And they have pass-catching running backs. So get off the field on 3rd down and you win that game.
So I think that's true going back to the Eagles game. And so, yeah, I think it does come back to if you can slow down at least this game, if you can slow down Travis Kelce, you're going to be okay. I mean, largely. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball, because you did, or when the Dolphins have the ball, rather, because you did say that you think if you can hold the Chiefs to 20 points, you're going to win this game because you think you're going to score on Kansas City. And I tend to agree with that as well. Kansas City, we should touch on the injury report here at least a little bit. Obviously, Kansas City is missing their best linebacker, Nick Bolton. He's out with a wrist injury. He's not going to be there. He's on IR. There also is a chance that they could be without Willie Gay, their other linebacker, their other key linebacker. He was a DNP on Wednesday with a back injury, got a limited practice in on Thursday, so he's questionable for the game on Sunday. This is a Kansas City team that likes to blitz. It's something that they're very, Steve Spagnuolo loves to bring pressure. He loves to bring that blitz. But what we've seen is that Tua actually performs pretty well against the blitz, especially because he's very good at getting through his progressions quickly and getting the ball out of his hands. So the question is this Dolphin? I think what is a bigger, more important question, because it's going to inform how Kansas City can try to come after the Dolphins, is can the Dolphins run the ball in this game against Kansas City? Can they get it going on the ground? And Dave, I'll go to you first here. What do the Dolphins need to do to run the ball on the ground? Now, it sounds like Connor Williams is going to play on Sunday. There is still an outside chance that we're going to see Teron Armstead come back, although I'm not holding my breath on that. And it seems unlikely that Robert Hunt is going to be going, even though they've said he is day to day. The fact that he was a DNP on Wednesday and on Thursday makes me, I'm doubtful that he's going to be good to go come Sunday. Connor Williams coming back would be a big addition, but they're still going to be shuffling a lot of pieces around on this offensive line.
I mean, really, there's only been one game the entire season where the Dolphins couldn't run the ball, and actually not even a full game, one half. The one half against the Eagles was the only time all season, even against the Bills, Devon Achane ran for over 100 yards. Now, granted, most of it was on one carry, but they still ran for 160 yards as a team. So they have had success running the ball, but that offensive line was also healthy early in the year. Against the Eagles, it wasn't. Against the Eagles, you were missing Armstead, you were missing Connor Williams, and they had two more injuries in the first half. Now, they changed something in the second half because Mostert had a great second half against the Eagles, and he's had pretty much, they've had a great running season overall. They have to stay true to what they're trying to do. Just stay to the Mike McDaniel game plan of the way they have the zone running scheme. Stay patient and don't make mistakes. Obviously, the further you get behind in the game, the harder it's going to be to run. But even in a game where they lost by four touchdowns, they had 160 yards rushing. So the reason they didn't rush for a lot of yards against the Eagles, one, because they couldn't with the injuries, and two, they didn't have the ball. Like, the Eagles did the one thing that the Dolphins can't afford, and that is to keep the ball the whole damn game. They kept it. They couldn't get off the field. So in order for the Dolphins to run the ball, they need to have the ball. So the defense needs to get them the ball. And then I think you just straight true to form. Like, no one has stopped the Dolphin running game yet, other than the first half against the Eagles.
That's true. Brain, you think the Dolphins can get the ball, get the run game going?
I absolutely do. I think it starts with getting Connor Williams back, because I think that's your biggest piece. Because the biggest drop off on this offensive line from starter to backup is going from Connor Williams to Liam Eikenberg. As great as Teron Armstead is, Kendall Lamb has done a really nice job at left tackle all season. And, you know, everybody else on that offensive line has done a solid job. But really, when you look at the Dolphins' big running plays, they've almost exclusively come outside zone, and there's one thing that they all have in common. It's Connor Williams getting to the second level, getting on a linebacker, getting on a defensive back, and springing that second block that turns, you know, not just an 8 yard gain, but it makes an 8 yard gain a 40 to 50 yard gain. That's the difference. That's what's missing. And, you know, furthermore, the Kansas City Chiefs are not a good run defense. 25th in the league in opponents' rushing yards per attempt. If you look at I think it's like four of their last five games, they've given up over 100 yards rushing. They gave up over 200 yards rushing to the Jets. They gave up like 160 or something to Denver last week. This is not a good run defense. And if you're playing a defense that their strength is getting after the quarterback, because they're first or second in the league in sack percentage. Yeah, it's great that you've got Tua and he plays well against the blitz and he can get rid of the ball quickly, but don't lose sight of the fact that you're also the best running offense in the league, as particularly when healthy, and you're going up against a defense that is extremely difficult against the pass and very soft against the run. I think you've got to be the aggressor in this game and try to win the line of scrimmage. If there's been one thing that I've consistently criticized this team for this season, as great as they have looked offensively, there are times where they are too finesse and they don't just take the other team's lunch money. This is a situation where the Dolphins can actually be the more physical team and win in the trenches on offense against a really good defensive line. And if they can do that, not only do I think that they can win this football game, but I think that bodes really well for what this team can do later in the season when they play other really good defenses. But I think it starts in this game on Sunday. I think the Dolphins will win this game if they run the ball well. If they do not run the ball well, they're going to put themselves in bad situations. Tua is going to be put under pressure. He is likely going to make at least one mistake, because we've seen that virtually every game, and that could be the difference in this football game. But if you run the ball well and you put yourself in good position and you really force Kansas City to focus on trying to stop the run, well, now you've got them right where you want them. Because if they have to commit an extra guy to the box, now Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are unstoppable.
So if the Dolphins can run that ball, so if they do get the run game going, you're saying that you don't have faith in Trent McDuffie and L'Jarius Sneed to slow down Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill?
Not in the slightest.
Well, that's good. That's
I don't know that I'd have any faith in the best corners in the league slowing those guys down if you're putting them on an island. Nobody is covering Tyreek Hill on an island. Even Jaylen Waddle, you're not really covering on an island.
Yeah, these are fast receivers, and it's something that I pointed out. I think it was Brian Baldinger put out a tweet this afternoon where he was doing some film review, and he referred to Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill as the Blur Brothers. And he was just showing there were some so he was reviewing some of the All 22, and it was just like examples of these guys are not only are they fast, but they've just got incredible ability. Like Jaylen Waddle is incredibly fast, but also has the ability to cut and juke and just make defenders, you know, like have no idea what they were doing. And then you've also got Tyreek Hill, who can just, and you saw it on the All 22 of his touchdown reception in the Patriots game. He literally just, he doesn't make any kind of move to try to fake anybody out of his shoes. He just runs straight past everybody because he's got that ability. So I expect that we're going to see a lot of that again at work on Sunday. And it's all going to come down to whether or not the Dolphins can, like you said, Brain, run the ball. And if they can run the ball, then I think they're going to be in good shape. So that means it is time now, Brain, for our hashtag one hot take. So Brain, I need to know, what is your one hot take for Dolphins Chiefs this Sunday?
Look, the Dolphins need to establish the run. They know they need to establish the run. They're getting some reinforcements back on the offensive line, at least in Connor Williams. You might get Teron Armstead back. You're playing a Chiefs team that struggled against the run and has injury issues at linebacker. You're going to attack them. And I think the Dolphins are going to have success there. So much so that I'm calling for 200 yards rushing from the Miami Dolphins in this football game.
Wow, Aaron. Wow, I like it. I like it. 200 yards rushing. Let's see what some of the people have to say. I'll start over on Twitter. If you're watching us on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page or the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, go ahead and put your hashtag one hot take in the comments, and I'm going to check out what everybody is saying over here on the Twitter machine, because it looks like we've got some, looks like we've got some feedback. So here we go. Mike at Dolphins Talk says Tua has a rushing touchdown. I like it. William V says Alec Ingold scores a TD, a man after my own heart. James Sonny Burnett says Dolphins are going to win and not by a little. I like it. How about this one from Scott? Jeff Wilson is the difference between victory and defeat. John Padilla says Tua goes for over 300 yards and two touchdowns. Jorge GM. Jorge, this is Jorge from the Two Amigos, says first Braxton Berrios touchdown on a kick or punt return. I like it. Charlie says Dolphins hold Mahomes to less than 250 yards and a touchdown, and we pull out the win. Jordan Murray says one hot take, jet lag hits Kansas City off the bat and a pick six for the Miami defense. Oh, here is somebody after my own heart. Daddy-o, Alec Ingold for a TD on a wheel route. Oh, I love it. Lucas P says Dolphins force three turnovers. Super Cal 19 says no touchdowns for the Chiefs through three quarters of play. Brad just says Cheetah 300 club. Oh, Cheetah going for 300 yards. That'd be something. Has that ever happened before?
Yes.
JB.
I want to say David Boston.
Wow. That would be okay. Somebody look that up.
I got it.
Thank you, Dave. I figured that you would. You got all the numbers there. JB says Dolphins win by at least 28. Miami Mark says Hill scores a touchdown. Julian Hill. Ben Cameron says Dolphins win comfortably and don't lose again this season. That is a very bold take. And then Sleepy Woke says after the Dolphins win, the media will once again blame it on Patrick Mahomes' flu. And now my favorite one, this from Rich Miller. Taylor Swift sings the German national anthem, breaks up with Kelsey, and is flown out of the stadium by a giant Philadelphia Eagle. That is a hot take.
Except that she won't be there.
She won't be there. And I frankly, I don't care. Dave, do you have a one hot take for this game?
Yeah, I'm glad you went to the fans and gave me a few minutes to think about it.
It's almost like I've done this before.
The answer to your other question, back in 2016, in a game that I'm sure nobody was watching, the Atlanta Falcons played the Carolina Panthers, and Julio Jones had 12 receptions for 300 yards.
Wow.
Looks like in 1989, Flipper Anderson.
Oh.
336 yards.
Correct. I was giving you the last thing.
Oh, I got it. Wow. Okay, so it has happened before. So it's not.
There's six times. Julio Jones was the sixth. Yes.
So it wouldn't be unprecedented if Cheetah were to go for 300 yards. That would be outstanding. I would love it. So did you give us for one?
He went for 269 with the Chiefs in 2020.
So he's been close.
Right. One hot take. Jalen Ramsey pick six just for Mike McDaniel. Gives him the pick six.
I like it. I like the idea of the pick six here. Let's see what else we got. We've got some more here in the comments, so let me share some of these with you. Let's see. JM Santos says Ramsey and X each get an INT, and Ramsey's is a pick six. Ray Finkel says Jalen Ramsey has two picks. Oh, Douglas Potter says Holland with a pick six and a forced fumble. Everybody's thinking defense here. Marty Romero says defense will get two picks. Dante Lima coming in with some banter. Jake Bailey has a punt over 40 yards. New Finland says Tua, three in the air and one rushing. And Jeff Harris says three sacks on Patrick Mahomes. And just because we've been talking about it, Jordan wants to push it even further. Cheetah for 401 and five touchdowns. I would feel
that
bad
has not been done.
I would feel bad for anybody who is playing up against him in fantasy.
I got on that one. Day. One more hot take.
Okay. What is your one more hot take?
It's not mine.
Who is this one from?
from people who lived a block away from you in Pembroke Pines, Florida.
Oh, is this from dad?
It's from mom and dad.
Mom and dad, a double one hot take from Mr. and Mrs. Behrman.
They, I'm not sure they know how to do the hashtag one hot take, but I got the text message. And that's by good. The way, they say hello. And they love my Mountain Dew
pyramid. Hi, Sandy. Hi, Sherry.
Dolphins win a shootout.
Dolphins win a shootout. I'll take it. I like it. I like it. So I'm going to go. So I've got my traditional one hot take. I am doing, I guess this is technically two hot takes. My traditional, my week in, week out one hot take is Alec Ingold receiving touchdown. But I'm adding another one. I'm adding another one for this game, which is that the Miami Dolphins will score more touchdowns than I have cups of coffee during this 9:30 a.m. game on Sunday. And I am a voracious coffee drinker. So I don't know that I would have a tower of, I mean, I'm typically just using the same coffee mug over and over again, but I expect I'll have at least 4 or 5 cups of coffee during the course of this game. So I expect the Dolphins to score more touchdowns than that. So let's have some score predictions. If you're watching live on the I'm a Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page, if you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, shout us out in the comments. Let us know, what is your score prediction in this game? Let's go around the horn. Brain, I'll start with you. What is the final score prediction for this Sunday?
So look, obviously I said the Dolphins are going to run for 200 yards. So we know they're going to put some points up on the board.
Let's go, baby.
I think this defense is going to play well, but I think when you get down into the nitty gritty, the Dolphins are not going to run away with this game. Patrick Mahomes is not going to go away. And this is going to be a fight to the finish. And I agree with the Behrmans that this is going to be a shootout at the end. And I think the Dolphins are going to get it done this week. Miami 34, Kansas City 31. The Dolphins get their signature win. It's not on the road. It's a neutral site game. We're on the track for home field advantage, baby.
Getting off the schneid, baby. I like it. Dave, what do you got for me?
31-20 Miami.
31-20. So the Dolphins defense is going to do a little bit of lockdown here.
I think the Dolphins defense is better than people think and getting better. And listen, Kansas City Chiefs deserve all the credit in the world. They've won 2 out of the last 4 Super Bowls. I don't think it was the same Kansas City Chiefs. They probably have the best coach and best quarterback in the league. I think the Dolphins are better. And this not being in Kansas City, this being in Germany, the Dolphins of which got there on Monday, Kansas City is getting there now. I think that was a genius move by the Dolphins to get there early. They're getting healthy. And listen, we have talked on this show many times and in person many times. Dolphin seasons usually go the other way. They get off to a hot start, give you a lot of promise, start getting injured, and the wheels roll off, and then what happens. You win 9 games, losing the first round, it's over. The opposite, like, not that they started bad. They started good, but they're getting healthier. You don't ever see the Dolphins get healthier. They're 6-2, and I'm going to give this to you. Blow your mind, because everybody's thinking Philadelphia. Everybody's thinking Kansas City. Everybody's thinking bye week. Did you see what's after the bye week?
Oh, yes. Aiden O'Connell.
Raiders, Jets, the team in Washington, Tennessee, Jets. In reality.
That's Will Levis, Aiden O'Connell, Zach Wilson, Sam Howell.
Should our predictions come true, you could be 12-2 going to the Dallas game. I mean, that's why we think about how we think, and this is why we're optimistic, and in 6 weeks from now, we're going to be like, what the hell is our raw problem? But they're getting healthier. And we all know they're one.
Is there any wood around here?
Yeah, I got.
We all know that they're one stupid hit at quarterback away from everything falling apart, but it usually doesn't. By this time last year, we were wondering about the concussions. Like, I don't know. It just feels different. It feels different.
It's
like, we're not talking about making the playoffs. We're not talking about winning the division. We're talking about home field, which I mean, what was the last time they had home field throughout the play? They had home field for.
Well, I remember the last.
It didn't end well. If you remember, it did not end well.
Right. The last time we had home field, we lost in the AFC title game. And the last time we were talking about home field, we were 10-4 going into the last two games of the season and ended up missing the playoffs.
Now, we had home field for the AFC title game, but we didn't have home field throughout the playoffs. The Bills had to lose. I mean, the Steelers had to lose the Frank Wright game. And after Buffalo won the Frank Wright game and then knocked off the Steelers and we hosted the Bills and lost, and we won't talk about that one. I was caught on national TV crying. Anyhow. It was the last time we had the one seed? Like,
I think that was the year. Was it like Marino's 48 touchdown season? The year that.
But even then, the AFC title game was on the road because it was predetermined.
Right.
Like, so.
So, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's something to talk about. It's something to get excited about. But again, we don't, on this show in particular, we don't like to get too far out ahead of ourselves because we've seen this movie how many times where things have gone well, right? I mean, look no further than the last time the Dolphins were 6-2. Okay. These things, it happens. So I think we got to take it one step at a time.
Let's at least beat the Chiefs first.
If you go and you win this game on Sunday, you're going to have 2 weeks of Miami Dolphin fans just on cloud nine. You're going to have more than 2 weeks because they're going to come back out of the bye and they're going to have the Raiders. You're going to have Aiden O'Connell. You know, yes, it's an exciting time. It certainly feels different. But as we have said numerous times on this show, we will not say definitively these are not the same old Dolphins until the season is over. And then we can make that statement because we've seen that movie too many times. By the way, I need to give my prediction for Sunday. And after thinking long and hard about it, I feel pretty confident. It's weird. I did not feel good about the Eagles game. I feel good about this game. So I'm going to say Miami Dolphins 45. Kansas City 17. Let's go. Take the over. Dolphins will cover. Let's go.
Always take the over with them. By the way, so, they were the one seed in 84.
That's it. It was 84.
So Brandon was right. One seed in 84, and they hosted 3 seed Pittsburgh at home. 85, they were the 2 seed, but hosted the Patriots.
So they've never been the one seed at the stadium formerly known as Joe Robbie.
No.
You know how they did host an AFC championship game there, but as previously discussed, it did not go well.
Right.
We got Thurman Thomas.
You'd be stunned how little playoff games the Miami Dolphins have held in that stadium.
That's right. Here's the other thing. Here's a wild fact. Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game in his career. Every playoff game he has played has been at home, except for the Super Bowl.
How many home playoff games do you think the Dolphins have hosted at the stadium formerly known as Joe Robbie?
Let's see. Well, maybe the last one was 2008.
Half a dozen.
Last one was 2008. Yeah, I think probably.
They hosted that game against the Colts, which was the last one that they won.
Right. So what?
Eight.
Is that it? Eight? Is that the number? That's higher than I would have expected. I would have said five or six.
So. They hosted the Chiefs in 90 before losing at Buffalo. They hosted San Diego and Buffalo in 92, which we just talked about.
Was that a Steve DeBerg game?
Yes. And in 94, Marino, Montana.
That's right.
Then they lost the Natron Means Business game.
That's right.
Beat Buffalo at home in 98, lost to Denver, and then Baltimore.
Okay. Well, we'll worry about that history when we get a little closer to it because we got a long way to go to get there. But we got a big game here. We're not going to have Steve DeBerg out there this Sunday and his wacky finger. We're not going to have that. That's not this Sunday. This Sunday, it's Miami Dolphins. It's Kansas City Chiefs. It's breakfast football, baby. Get the omelets out. Get the coffee out. Get the donuts out. Whatever it is however you like to have breakfast, get ready, baby, because we're going to have Sunday morning football, and you could be set for the greatest Sunday. It could be a fantastic Sunday. Listen, and if depending on, you know, where you are, you might be, you might get the Dolphins, get the dub in the morning, and then you spend the rest of the day, you're putting up the menorah, you're putting up the Christmas tree, because it's the holiday season, baby. Halloween is in the rearview window. It is highly likely that when I walk out of this room after I finish recording this, that there will be a Christmas tree in my living room as we speak. So it's going to be a good Sunday. So if the Dolphins get that win, as I am hopeful that we're going to, I think all three of us predicted the Dolphins are going to win, which is pretty remarkable. We love it. We're excited. I hope everybody is excited. We are going to be back on Monday, the Brain and I, to recap the game. And then we're going to go into the bye week. And hopefully we're going into the bye week happy and upbeat as the number one seed in the AFC. And we can let our dreams run wild.
I've asked you this question before, but it's never more appropriate than now. I want to get out of the way before Sunday happens.
Here we go.
Should things go the Dolphins' way?
Uh-huh.
Change the name of the show?
No. No, not in week 10.
No, I just meant like overall.
Oh, like, if things overall, if the Dolphins go all the way and win the Super Bowl, we'll have a conversation.
Okay. Well, we've talked about this, and it's like at the bare minimum, before we even consider a name change, they have to play in an AFC title game.
That's right. They have to get that far first.
And that's for us to even consider it. We're not necessarily sold that makes us change it.
I made a pact with the Cousins. You know, we go to a road game every year, Vegas, Chicago, we did Philly. Dolphins win the Super Bowl, only because I know my mother's watching and listening. Like Tua, right here.
Oh,
right here. Holding the Lombardi Trophy up right here.
She just said over my dead body. I think I heard her say it.
But what if Tua gets hurt along the way and it's Mike White that leads us to glory?
Oh, let's go, Mike, baby.
Pembroke Pines own.
That's
right. I'll have Cheetah written across my arm instead.
Getting the 33029 zip code tattooed on your arm, baby. Let's go, Pembroke Pines. You know what? Everybody.
If Mike White wins the Dolphins the Super Bowl, I will get 33029 tattooed on my arm.
There it is. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Make sure you're following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. He is at David Behrman, PFN. Make sure you follow PFN 365 as well. We'll even give Adam Beasley a shout, who is the Dolphins beat writer for PFN. And make sure that you're following everybody there. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Make sure you've liked this video. Make sure you're doing all of the things, following us everywhere you can follow us. And above all, make sure that you are cheering for the Miami Dolphins loud and proud this Sunday, because this is what it's all about, baby. It is big time football. So thank you as always for listening to the Same Old Dolphin Show. Take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
If Mike White leads us to a Super Bowl victory, I might get a tattoo of Chris Greer.